All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I think it's been 4 weeks since I was last on this stage, so it feels a little weird to be here, honestly, but really great to be here. Just love the worship time this morning. Great job, team. And yeah, it is really exciting to just have this opportunity this morning to share a little bit of a recap, an update on the team that went out from Harvest City Church to Uganda, and then some of us went on to Tanzania. We've been doing a series here with you on the parables of Jesus, and we're going to pause that series this morning. We just felt like it was important that you as a church, because we've been so supportive of this ministry. Lyft is a partner of Global Impact. Many of you have given financially towards it. And this year was a bit unique in that we had a team of people that joined Anatoly and I from Harvest City. It was great to have a team again. And I'll say this to you. Before we left, I said to Anatoly, this is probably one of the most eclectic teams we've ever brought. I mean, we have people from different nationalities. We have new Christians. We have old Christians. We have single people, married people. It is quite a group of people that we're bringing together, and half of them didn't even know each other's names until maybe a month or two before we left. And so I was like, how is this all going to work? And you know what? It worked amazing. And it was amazing how this team of people came together and became like family. In fact, I'm a part of the group chats, and when they got home, I'm like, enough with the love already, you guys. Everybody's missing each other, and who's having the first barbecue and all that sort of stuff going on. But it was really exciting for me to just watch them encounter God, see God use them, see the excitement on their own faces, and just thrilled to see them absolutely dive in and experience things like some pretty crazy times in the presence of God, lots of wild deliverance type stuff happening, and just to be a part of all that was great. And so we're going to hear from each of them this morning. I've told them they got about 3 minutes each, so they're going to have to be snappy with it. But I'm going to interview them a little bit. But before we do that, we're just going to have a look at a recap video that captures the week in Kasoro.
We are really grateful for what God did in our district recently, when we held a crusade. I want to thank God so much for the recent beautiful crusade and conferences that we had in Kasoro.
For the first time, we had people from different denominations teaming up together to preach, to listen to the word of God.
We had those from the Baptist church, from the Anglican church, and from the Pentecostal churches.
The preparations were very difficult because people would not believe that they can work together.
Formally, if it was Anglican, it would be only organized by Anglicans. If it was for Pentecostals, it would only be organized by Pentecostals.
I was very excited to see more than 500 leaders in one room.
They enjoyed it. It was wonderful. They shared their testimonies, and they testified that it was really an amazing thing bringing them together.
We realized that we are one body, and the mission is one, to win more souls to Christ.
The outreach in the prisons, the outreaches in the schools.
The message was relevant to their age groups, the students and the pupils, and it was really seen in the feedback that we got from the students. They were very grateful, and we also had good time to pray with the sick, to encourage them, and to the prisons. We had a great team that encouraged them, and we really, really had good time.
And the number they ministered to in those areas was 19,138.
Then the crusade gathered together thousands and thousands of people who walked from the mountains in the rains to come and enjoy the word of God. we had Evangelist Joel Wells. He spoke to more than 11,000 members who were attending the crusade. And surely God, moved by the power of His Holy Spirit in the city of Kisoro, deliverance, healings were registered on the ground. There are people that are so hard to reach, but the crusade and the strength that we bring actually breaks the resistance of people. More than 2,000 people accepted Jesus Christ. What a joy. But also we saw these men and women working together.
Teamwork was really portrayed. We were able to work together before the crusade, during the ministry, and even after. We are really very grateful.
People are still talking about it, a great crusade, bringing them together. And they actually want it to be annual, if possible.
So I want to say this to everyone who supports the Lift Ministries, who supports Pastor Joe. Please keep on supporting. Keep on praying. We depend on your love. We depend on you opening doors for this to happen. Thank you for those of you who are considering to support the evangelistic work of Pastor Joe Wells. God bless you from Uganda. We are extremely excited for what God has in future for this amazing ministry.
When I see that, it makes me want to go back. I forget all the hard work it was. Well, I'm going to have Nina and Trish. Why don't you guys join me on the stage here now? I should just tell you, as they were coming up, that on the Sunday morning that I was there, I preached in the largest Anglican church in Kisoro. And I was in the back room with the bishops and the reverends, or whatever they're called. And they were all wearing the robes and the collars and everything. And they had all these robes on the wall. And, of course, Anatoly opens his big mouth. And he says, "Joel, you should wear one of those robes." And right away they're like, "Would you? Would you?" Long story short, I preached in a robe for the first time in my life. There are pics, but we didn't get them for you today. All right, well, Nina, great to have you here on this team and on the stage this morning. This wasn't your first time to Africa. You've been to Zambia in years past, but I think this was your first time, Trish. So I know you had an amazing time, but Nina, I'm going to start with you. You were part of the schools team that went out every day to the school assemblies, and I know you did some sharing and things in some of those schools, and you had personally a time when you felt God really showed up in a powerful way, and I'd love for you to just share a little bit of that story with us.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't know how I can say it in 3 minutes because there were so many great things that happened. And just a little blurb off of what I'm going to say. Like, I saw a little boy even walk who didn't walk before, and it was just amazing to see that. And I wanted to share that before I share the testimony for the school. So what happened is I was asked to give my testimony at one of the schools, and we went to a few high schools and then a few elementary schools. But the high schools, I was asked to talk about my testimony, and I'm not very comfortable talking in front of people with that kind of things, but I committed to doing that, and I was doing my testimony on the plane right there, which took 13 hours, so I thought I had enough time to write my testimony on the plane. And so I did all of that on my computer, and then when we got there, The day before I was to speak, I was awoke at 2:30 in the morning, and I knew that was God waking me up because he changed my testimony almost completely. And he was downloading something brand new, and I'm like, really? Really? I need to say that? And so I didn't get back to sleep. I was actually bunking with Trish, and I was trying to be as quiet as I could. But I was writing down all the stuff that he said I should say. So when I got there, the testimony involved something that I don't always talk about because a lot of people don't know me, and I don't always talk about myself and whatever. But when I was speaking, I used one of our members, Clint. I'm not sure if he's here, but I used him in this sort of testimony, and it was about me and what I like to do on the side, like a side gig. And I actually do local acting here in Regina and Saskatoon. And so God was downloading, talk about that, and I wasn't going to. And I thought, well, do the kids even kind of know what that has, you know, or involved? So I asked some people prior, do kids kind of know movies and sort of, like, do they know Will Smith, like? And one of the pastors said, yeah, they should know him. So I kind of came up and I spoke and I said, where I'm from, I do some local acting. And you could hear the audience go, ooh. And I thought, okay, well, they kind of get it. And so I said, and one of the parts I have to play was a police officer. And I told them I had to wear a certain outfit in order to do the role. And I said, you know, when I was a kid, like, I was trying to find God. Like, I really was trying to find God in a church. And I said, this was prior to describing the role. I said, but I couldn't find God in the church. I mean, you could see people going to church. You could see people, like, doing certain things in the church. I said, but I didn't find God in the church. And then I went into this role thing. Then I had this role as a police officer, and I had to put on this white shirt, black pants, wear a badge, and have a gun. And I said, and if you were to watch that role, you would have thought I was a police officer. I said, but that is not who I am. And it's just like you watching movies or shows. Like, you think the actor is actually that actor or doing what they do in that part, and they don't. And I said, you wouldn't know who I was unless you knew me. You have to ask and find and seek. And I even played out the role with Clint. He was my role in the part that I had to play, and I put him under arrest on the stage, and Diane Harrison actually prophesied that I would act out some of my things, and there you go, Diane, if you're here, that kind of came to pass. But I said to the children, I said, you know, it's like God. Like, you can't see or find him in a building. You really have to know him to know who he is. And so that was what God downloaded me to say. And so I said, you know, so if anyone didn't know God, you know, come, you know, make it your commitment to do that. And then we had this time of Pastor Tundi, who spoke to the kids. And I did tell the kids, like, if you did know me, you would know that I was a mom, because I have two adult children, and I said, and I'm also a teacher, and so some of the kids were shocked at that, because I, you know, was talking about being an actor, but I said, that's not who I am, like, I am somebody else. So then, Pastor Tundi came, and he was talking about this really powerful message about being the light, and he called the leaders of the school to come up to stand in front of it, like the stage, like this, and he just started to speak, and the Holy Spirit came upon these leaders and the whole school. Like, there were hundreds of kids there. And all of a sudden, these leaders were slain in the spirit. They were falling to the ground. Now, I have never witnessed anything like that, so I was quite shocked about what was going on. But I did see one boy just standing there, and he was just weeping and crying. And I just had this, I don't know, this lead of the Spirit to go up to him and just rub his arm. So I walked up to him and I just rubbed his arm. And then he just stood there and had his eyes closed and was crying. So then I went up and I rubbed his other arm. And I didn't say anything because it was all going on. There was so many things going on. And then I just sort of walked around him. And then I was prompted to just hug him. So this tall 16-year-old kid, I hug from the back and I'm holding on to him. And I'm just bawling as this kid is crying as well. And then I opened my eyes and I saw this big rip in his pocket. Now, I don't know if it's on screen here, but the boy that was coming up is the one on the far right. Right there. These are kids that are coming up as the leaders. So this girl here is walking up, and there's another boy that was coming up. And I looked down, and I was prompted by God to look down, and I saw this huge hole in his pocket. Now, they're all wearing uniforms, and very, very, like, neat and tidy and everything well put together. And I looked down, and I saw this hole, and I don't know if this was God, but I felt, I don't know if this child has a mother. And here I'm just holding on to him, embracing this boy. And I just knew right away that God really wanted me to be his mom in the moment. And I just think that was the testimony, because God told me I should tell them I was a mother. And then I had this moment of hugging this boy. And so I just say praise the Lord for that.
Thanks, Nina. You did great. Trish, probably some people would know, but a lot of people in this room wouldn't know that you lost your husband about a year and a half ago. And that was part of sort of your journey to coming to Harvest City Church. And I know that God has been taking you on a journey of healing for the last year and a half. And I think going on this trip was another significant step forward for what you've told me in that regard. And so could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Oh, again, hard to do in a few minutes. I'll try to do the best that I can. I know that on the beginning of this journey, I would have let the word alone define who I was, because it's how I felt without being with my husband. Him and I were married for 33 and a half years. And so I didn't know who I was outside of our marriage. We grew up together. And so when he passed away, it was like, who am I? And after he passed, I had cried out to God, and I had to lean on him, like 100%. So this journey, this healing journey, was redefining who I was, and then who I was with God. And he has been with me every step of the way this year. I felt like this missing puzzle piece. I was jagged, I was torn, and I just didn't fit in. And that was actually a prophecy before we left. But it was, I'm not a jagged puzzle piece. I do fit in. And so there's several members of this body that help show me that I'm a part of a bigger family than who I thought I was. And on this trip, I mean, God showed me glimmers of himself through every member of our team. Just his faithfulness, his goodness, joy, wisdom, vulnerability, like all these characteristics were coming through people. And I was seeing this, and it was just like, in the beginning I had thought these were glimmers of characteristics of my husband, because my husband had these characteristics in each and every team member, and it was just like, so I kind of felt like my husband was with me on this trip. And I realized that, you know, when I had to sit down and write this testimony, it wasn't my husband. It was God showing his character to me. Because I never really identified to God the Father before. I never knew my earthly father. And so, like, these characteristics my husband showed me, but then they were also extended in the people around me. And so I was able to see that, and that, you know, all along God has been with me, and that I am a part of a bigger family. I'm not alone. And so he really, he showed me that he's so much bigger and so much more personal than what I thought he was. I thought he was out of reach, and he's not. Mm. He's just right there. And you know, and every member of this team, because we were going into spiritual battle, we had to be such a bonded team to be able to do the battle that we were doing. So as each day went on, it was like each day we had to create a battle plan. And we went into each day of the crusade with a plan and a purpose. And the things that we saw God do in this place were miraculous. And it was amazing to see that, you know, like I didn't know where my place was. I wanted to be at the back of the church. I didn't want to be in a place like this, but I knew that God wanted me to go here. Because I had said at the beginning of my journey, okay, God, use me. I'll let you. I choose you, and I will choose to follow you and lead me, guide me. I'll do it this time. And so what I learned is, like, God is good. He is faithful. And he provides what we need just when we need it. And he turned my mourning into joy and brought beauty from ashes.
Awesome. Trisha, I know that you had an opportunity to pray with a lady at the crusade and lead her to Jesus yourself. I noticed you have new glasses. Trish gave away her glasses to somebody who couldn't see and discovered that they just needed a pair of glasses. So looks like you got another pair. thanks for sharing this morning.
Thank you.
As they're returning to their seat, I'm going to show you a little video here from Joel and Hannah Dumain. Some of you would remember, Joel and Hannah are from Quebec, and I had a chance to spend some time with them on the way to Uganda, and they lead a ministry called Generation Unite, which we've taken on as a special project this year. We're looking at making Joel and Hannah official Global Impact Partners at our next GIC in April. I'll tell you, I grew to really love these guys. They are amazing people, real tremendous hearts for the Lord, good ministers of the gospel. And so they helped in the pastor's conference, and I actually did a marriage seminar in a little village 30 miles away with about 30 couples and had an incredible time. So they're on holidays in Florida, but they sent in a little two-minute video for us.
Hello, Arva City Church. Hello, all the team that we went to Uganda with. Hello, Pastor Joel and Anatolie. It's a pleasure to be part of your Sunday morning to give some testimonies of what happened in our trip. So, baby, do you want to start?
I wanted to share, of course, the whole trip was something that marked our lives and really impacted us. But I'll say the part that really touched my heart the most was when we were speaking at the two pastors' conference. To be able to address and talk to pastors' wives, to leaders about their families and establishing kingdom values, and then seeing the response, seeing the heart change, seeing that we're actually shifting not only the culture in Uganda, but in Tanzania. For me, that was the part that I was just so excited, because you know that God is transforming. It's also oftentimes the pastor's heart that has changed to impact and overflow on the churches there. So for me, that was the most exciting portion and the greatest testimony.
It was fun.
It was fun.
We really also appreciated go to a little village to do a couples conference, which was quite interesting to go to their level and try to bring them higher as couples. It's just a different world over there, the way the husband and the wife interact. But it was such a blessing to spend 2 days with them, almost becoming friend with them and love on them. It was a special moment. It really touched my heart and really changed me, in a sense, giving even more love for countries and places that we take for granted, our country, Canada, how it's developed, but how to love those people where they are. It was a blessing.
Last thing I would say to everybody, you all need to come next year to Uganda. It will change your life, it'll change your perspective, and it'll shift the way your relationship with God, your walk with God.
And kudos to Pastor Joel and Anatoly
for
what they're doing over there, for what they're carrying for those countries, the salvation that happened, the deliverance, healings that happened, and we want to honor them for their faith, their boldness, and you guys have a great, awesome leader. So we love you.
See you in October.
See you in October.
All right, Alan and Nolan, if you guys could make your way up to the stage. Joel and Hannah will be with us in October. They're coming for the Lifelinks Conference in Winnipeg, and then they're going to come and hang out with us on the Sunday morning and preach in our service. So you're gonna enjoy that.
Like my daddies?
I like your daddies, Nolan. He had to cover those up in Uganda, so... Alan, I'm going to start with you. You're a Ugandan. Are you Canadian or Ugandan now?
I'm Canadian.
You're Canadian, but wow.
I don't have a citizenship in Uganda anymore, so I don't belong.
Okay.
I had to get a visa to get there.
So that was real.
Although I was born there.
You had to get a visa to go back to the land of your birth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, it was really great to have you on this team, Alan, and just so fun to know that you were from Uganda and were joining with us, going back to where you were born. But I know that your involvement in the Crusades, I think, ended up looking a little different than maybe what you anticipated before you went on the trip. And so can you just tell us a little bit about that and what your biggest takeaway was from that experience?
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you as the church for praying for us. We felt your prayers. So my involvement in the crusade exposed me to being so close for the first time with people who manifested like demonic spirits. And I thank God for his power and protection because some of them were violent. But he saw us through. So the first night when Pastor Joel was preaching, actually all the nights when Pastor Joel was preaching, they were all powerful. The power to heal and deliver all people was present. And when he started preaching, the anointing was tangible and the crowd some of the people in the crowd started screaming and wailing, especially those who had demonic possessions. And there arose a boldness in me to just go out for those people. It was my first time being so close. But without thinking, I looked for those people that were screaming and joined with other believers. We started casting out demons in Jesus' name. It was powerful. We moved from one person to another. And every confrontation we were faced with, the demons had to flee in Jesus' mighty name. And some of them were persistent, and it took us maybe more than 15 minutes trying to cast out just one demon in a person. And those were violent. We needed maybe more than 5 people to hold the person down so we could cast out the demons. But they all bowed down, so we thank God for that. And for me, I think the most... my experience was a very fulfilling one because I saw God use me. I'm no different from any one of you. So if God can use me, I believe everyone can be used. He has given us power as believers to cast out demons. And there was no time for praying. It was time to cast out demons. And they left. So we thank God for that. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Good job, Alan. It was fun to watch you. One of the big joys I have from the stage is in this chaos, watching our team wrestle with all these people to the ground and going, this is pretty crazy. Nolan, in the weeks leading up to the trip, you said to me several times, I don't even know why I'm going on this trip. I don't even want to go on this trip. I don't have a heart for these people, you said. I have a heart for my own people. And yet, before you got on that plane, you said to me, I don't want to go home. So what happened?
Well, you threw a wrench in my gears, Joel, when you asked me to come with you guys. My life was going so sweet. But Joel's right. There's no interest in Africa, none. I love my people, the overlooked people, the discarded people. They're right there. And I said no. I said yes. And then I said no. And then it was like there was a pebble in my heart. And the Lord reminded me that I swore an oath to him that I would say yes. Man, I cry more than this guy. I promise I cry more than
It's true.
And I was driving to church the last day to register, and I heard this voice say to me, you promised. And you know, I've worked hard in my life to be big, to be strong, to have a persona as a way to protect myself. And it was almost like this trip was inviting me to leave all my security, all my plans, all my everything, and go and pursue God. I knew he was leading me there. I work hard, I work a lot, and that's a sense of security for me. So I laid that down. And when I don't work, I don't get paid. So I laid that down. I don't travel by myself. I travel a lot. I bring people I love that know me. I laid that down. I went with strangers. Because I'm conquered, man. I'm conquered. The Lord has won me over. He has won me over. And then when I got to Uganda after almost 30 hours of travel, they said, Nolan, you gotta hide your tattoos and you gotta pull your jewelry out of your face. And I was like, man, well, why'd you ask me to come here? I didn't say that, but I taught it. And then I remembered, Lord, I said, yes, I'll say yes. Whatever you ask me, God, you have won me over. I will say yes. Yes, I'll cover my tattoos. Yes, I'll pull out my earrings, my nose ring. That's easy because I want to pursue you, God. There is, man, natives in time. Sorry, Joel, but 3 minutes. There's a scripture in Mark 12. It's called the widow's offering. And lots of times we can look at that and sell it short by thinking it's about money. It has nothing to do with money. Jesus is sitting in a temple and people are coming and they're giving out of their abundance. They're giving out of their excess. And then in walks a widow and she has next to nothing and she gives it all. The Bible says she gave everything that she had to live on. He's not talking about wanting your money. He's talking about your heart. Mm-hmm. We can give part of our heart and we can still exist like that. Mm-hmm. But we can save some for the hard times, just in case we get hurt, just in case Jesus isn't who he said he was, just in case something bad happens, I have part of my heart to fall back on. But he honors the widow. He wants all of us. He wants the whole thing. He wants our fears. He wants our past. He wants our future. He wants everything. No safety nets. He wants to be everything. Mm-hmm. And I experienced that in Uganda. I gave up everything. I said, Lord, I'm empty. I don't even know what I'm doing. And he met me, and I have never, like, my parents were pastors, man. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've experienced the Holy Spirit, and I have never, ever experienced it like I did there. It's not about Uganda. It's the same God that's there is here. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to leave our comfort zone and be vulnerable and pursue the maker, the creator of heaven and earth and say, God, I'm here. And to be brave enough to just jump in, you know, I've been an alcoholic and a drug addict for most of my life, and there is such a depth of hopelessness when you exist in that way. And God was the only one who could dig me out of that hole. And about a year into my sobriety, I had a dream or a vision. I can't remember what it was. And I was tied up. I was on a ship. I was completely bound. And I am deathly afraid of water. I've actually been scared a lot in my life. Not so much anymore. But I was bound on a ship, on a pirate ship. And as I was standing there, I noticed a plank. And I was scared in my dream. It was very vivid. And then I started to hear this resounding sound. Building. Jump. 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 And then I realized, oh, that's Jesus. He's the water. He doesn't just want my toe. He wants all of me. He wants to get between my toes. He wants to get in my nose. He wants to get in my ears. He doesn't just want the good stuff. He wants the bad stuff. He wants everything. He's not looking for structures. He's not looking for logic. He's looking for hearts, open hearts. Exodus 19, Moses comes down the mountain. God says to him, do not fashion the stones of the altar, lest you desecrate them. He's enough. He's what makes it holy. We just have to be these stones. That's it. He makes it holy, right? Anyway,
you're getting ready to preach. I think you are preaching.
Noel. Yeah. So, I'll apologize, but we can have that anytime. He's ready in the secret place. Mm-hmm. You just got to go there and say, Lord, I'm here. I know you're faithful. Mm-hmm. You know, I read a post the other day. My mom wrote a post. It's a very simple thing. She said, parents, never stop praying for your children. 35 years she's been praying for me. Mm. You know? So, anyway, that's pretty much it, I guess, you know. Uganda's awesome, man. I go back. I have the people, oh my gosh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people. They have nothing, yet they have everything. It was so beautiful. They like, yeah.
Thanks, you guys. I'll take the mic. Thanks, Nolan. Jamoki traveled with us, and she couldn't be here. But she sent in a little video, or we took a little video of her. She's talking a little bit about an experience in the prison.
Honestly, the opportunity to be able to travel with the team, to be part of the crusade itself, was exhilarating. I think I would say I don't have one highlight. I would say I have two. I think for me, it was just the grace of God. It was very tangible. With us, we were just regular church going folks that got to have this opportunity to minister. We were in schools, we were in hospitals, we got to speak at different conferences, and it was evident that the grace of God was there, because there was nothing that we could have done by ourselves, but you could see God through us do a lot of things. Lives were changed, people were transformed, people were delivered. Just to see the evident grace of God using everyday people to do what he wants to do, that was mind-blowing. For me, one of the things that really stood out was the prison. So I had my expectation going into a prison. I was going to, you know, I had my picture of how the prison was going to be. And when we walked up, everything was kind of falling into place. We were not allowed to take our phones. We couldn't take pictures. There was only a set number of us. And we walk into this place, and you could tell the power of God was so tangible. There were a bunch of men and women who were just singing, praising God, and just raising their hands and just enjoying the presence of God. And then the warden started to talk. And you could see to him it was not a job. It was a ministry. He was sharing about what God was doing. He was sharing about testimonies, what God had done. And he was just talking about, he wasn't from that place, but he just felt like he was placed here to do this job and just to walk with these people. And it was so awesome because for me, I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor, but to see somebody who in their regular day job was living and he was working. Technically, the way I will put it is his work was his worship. And so for anybody out there, maybe you're feeling like, oh, I'm not called when I'm at work. No, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you are doing, you are a minister of the New Testament. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ, you know, who strengthens you. And all you have to do is, if God is laying it in your heart to go, just go. The grace of God is sufficient for you.
All right. Gonna have last two, Tunde and Clint, if you guys can come on up. I like the jacket. Well done.
Just in case I bomb.
Yeah, as long as you look good. I'm gonna give that to you, Clint. So, this is my dad's neighbor, for those of you who don't know Clint. And it's just been about a year ago that you crossed the street and had a chat with Pastor Dave, and he led you to Jesus. And so you're a baby Christian, maybe in some ways, but probably after this trip we can't use that term anymore. You've seen some stuff.
I see a lot.
So you, I think you came on this trip, you probably had no idea what you were really signing up for, and I know that your faith grew as a result of this trip, and so could you just maybe just speak a little bit about what it was that really caused your faith to grow?
Yeah, I think the thing that really touched me the most was the first night of the crusade. I seen my whole team go into the crowd. And I was kind of taking care of little Elvin, right? And I was like, I'm not going to drag a toddler in there, so.
It's a young boy that was friends of yours.
Yeah. So I just kind of stayed out, and this lady just came to us. And her baby was dangling off her back. Like, baby was falling off. And her, like, she was very, very possessed. There was definitely an evil spirit inside of her. And Elvin and I, we just started to pray over her. And it just seemed like the lights got brighter. Kind of the wind picked up. And all of a sudden, that lady just stood up, dried her face, and tied her baby onto her, and gave me the tightest hug I've ever had in my life. And wandered off into the darkness. And I was like, okay. I was like, I told Nolan this after. I was like, Jesus, what have we done? I was like, it was amazing. Mm. Yeah. So that's
okay.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Tunde, I have to say that probably one of my favorite things of standing on that stage was watching you in the middle of thousands of people with just praying for the sick and deliverance. I thought, this guy is in his element. And it was just so great to just have you even as a leader on our team in that regard. And just your wisdom and experience was invaluable. But you saw God do a couple amazing things, and I would love it if you would just tell those stories for us.
Thank you, Pastor Joel. I don't know where to start from. The experience was something spectacular for me. While we're building up to going to Uganda, I've been praying to God to say, Lord, what do I need to do? And then it laid it in my heart that I should look out for every member of the team. I didn't know what that meant as a 10. So when Pastor Anotoli said, hey, I want you to look out for every member of the team. I see you've got experience. Look out for every member of the team. And so I connected to what I heard. So I didn't know what to do, but I was praying alongside, no one guiding. Just like Nolan, my father and mother are pastors, and then they lead a church in Nigeria. And from 19, I've been won over to the Lord, be in the church. And then in 2010, I was ordained as a pastor. And so I've been around deliverance for a while too. But after relocating some years back, hadn't got such experience. So when we came for this crusade, because I sat down there backtracking now 1 year ago, we came into this church the very first time when we were having Global Impact. So I saw on the team of the global partners, and then the Lord spoke to me immediately to say, I want you to join one of those teams. I said, which one? And he showed me your team. And then I didn't even know you were a pastor here. I saw Pastor Anatoli then too. And I said, okay, Lord, when the time comes. So 1 year after when they said, this is an opportunity, I walked in. I remember going to Pastor Anatoli. I said, sign me up. He said, you have to go back home and discuss with your wife, think about the finances. I said, I have done that. Sign me up now. And I felt that compelling urge. And then when we went to the crusade, I understood why God was laying that in my heart. Now, a lot of miracle happened there, a lot of healing power. I used to be less emotional, but the Holy Spirit broke me down. I was weeping. Mm-hmm. Right, and one of the ministers' conference by Pastor Joel, I was crying my heart out. I said, "What's going on with me? Why am I crying like a baby?" But I saw that that was the Holy Spirit breaking something inside of me. Now, on the crusade ground, I just found out myself praying and tell the Lord. I remember your story of not getting in the way, so I say, "Lord, these people need you. Do not let me get into the way of their miracle. Don't put me in this equation. Do it yourself, Lord." I was crying. Now, we saw the deaf hear, blind see. But there was one that touched me emotionally that I need to say. There was a lady who had a leg ulcer, very big patch, for 6 months. And she was watching with crutches. And then the second day of the crusade, the Lord said, stand at the right side there. I didn't know why, so I was waiting. So I beckoned on Nolan to come and join me. As he was coming, you gave the call for those who are sick to come. And then the crowd were coming. And then I saw that lady standing in pain, crying. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit said, go and pray. So I touched her and I prayed for her. And I was crying because I was feeling her pain directly on me. Like I was the one that had the pain. And all of a sudden, the ulcer started, I don't know what that was, like was juice. Lonan saw it too. It was just pouring out of the pain. And all of the lady started saying, I am healed. Mm-hmm. I started laughing. Oh my God. And I think that one of that was there.
Many. The next this, picture.
This one was, is this lady was, the prophet told them not to kill a snake, that a snake will visit them. Very young girl as she is. And then the snake eventually came to visit their home. Out of fear, she killed the snake. And right that moment, she was insane. So she would be reading her fingers and looking left and right like she was far away. She could not recognize anyone. I don't know how long that has been. So they brought her to that crusade. And I remember holding her and I was crying again. And then I said, Lord, what do I need to do? Because I haven't been in this kind of situation before. And he said to me that she's in a journey far away, that I should call her back to where she was. So I asked her name. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And I screamed her name. I said, come back. And then she jolted. And then the next thing, made her sat down. And then she was healed. And she, glory to God. And then she called out. And I said, who is this? She said, mommy. And the woman screamed and carried her. She could not wait to share testimony. She took her home. Right? Because what was wrong? He said, she has never recognized that before since that happened. And then she said, mommy, and then they hugged. And then glory to God. Another story, the story of the man before was insanity. And also God healed him there. And diverse of testimony. The team all went out, were praying. And I think Sister Naina prayed for someone who could not walk and they could walk. That was God showing us that it's all about Him, not us. He's only looking for an intermediary to link up what He wants to do to those who need them. That I learned so much, that how much more people are in agony because nobody is saying, "Here I am, send me." So I think that is a far hard cry for me, and I'm signing on for God. I want to do it once again. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. Good job. I will end this morning by just telling you one story in regards to Tanzania. Most of you know that after Uganda, Anatoly and I, and Clint actually came along with us as well, and Joel and Hannah, we went to Tanzania, and we did something we hadn't done before. We linked up with a ministry out of Saskatoon, Beautiful Feet, who were doing their first crusade, and asked us if we'd come and help and mentor them a little bit. And so we went to, we went to Tanzania. And I would say this to you, that what we experienced was nothing in some ways like what we experienced in Uganda in terms of crowd size. And we had all the setup there for a crowd of 100,000 people, and probably only 1,000 people show up. And there's reasons for that. I would say it was probably one of the biggest learning experiences in the 10 years of doing this ministry, that we will take from what we learned there and use it going forward as we go into other nations. But as I sat there on the first night and looked out at this field, we've got this amazing stage, lights, screens, we've got sound system that could reach 100,000 people, and there's 1,000 people there, And I pull up in our van, and the security, it's like the president has showed up. They got the black suits and the ties and the earphones, and they're running beside the vehicle. I'm like, "Who are you protecting me from? Those kids over there? You know, what's happening?" And I was just sort of sitting there and going, "My goodness, I just came from Kasoro, where we saw, you know, the biggest responses to the gospel we've ever seen." And I just felt like, you're fighting this discouragement, and Lord, did we miss it in coming here? What's happening? And I just honestly felt like the Lord just said to me, just look. And I looked at all what was happening there, and it was like, I just felt like God said, I'm allowing you to see it, but not experience it. In the sense of seeing the setup and everything for 100,000 people, but not experiencing it yet. So just have a look. And then I thought, I just kind of felt like, Lord, I'm fighting some embarrassment here a little bit. And I just kind of felt like God was saying, it's okay. You can be embarrassed a little. You can survive. And the question was, I just felt like God said to me, you know, will you be faithful with a little? You want much? You want what you're seeing here? Will you be faithful with a little? And the challenge that I just felt in my own heart was, will you preach as though there's 100,000 people, even though there's 1,000? And so I said, and I could see as I looked around, that person I know, and that person needs Jesus. I can tell that one on the sidelines over there needs Jesus. I'm going to preach my heart out to them. And so I did. I preached as hard as I could, probably one of the hardest preaches I've ever had in my life, to be honest. And gave the altar call response, and we had over 100 people responded to the gospel that night. I don't honestly know where they came from. And we had a lot of deliverance and things happening, and you know, each night was kind of similar. The crowd never really grew. But as I was in the restaurant, went to the restaurant afterwards, and Moses Molly, who's part of our Ugandan team, he'd come with us. He said to me, "Joel, did you see that Muslim woman who gave her life to Jesus tonight?" I said, Well, I don't know who's Muslim and who's not. And he said, there was a Muslim lady that was the first one to respond to your altar call tonight. And she was weeping. And he showed me this picture. It's her with the red there. She said she just wept through the entire altar call. I thought, Lord, how much is a soul worth? How much is one soul worth? And so it was a privilege to just be there to share the gospel. And every night we had Muslim people come to Jesus. And so it was fantastic. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're way over time this morning. There's so many stories to share, but thank you so much, church, for praying for us, believing in us, releasing us to go do this stuff. We're going to be on Nepal next year in April, by the grace of God, and back in some place in Africa. We're looking at a few different nations of maybe going into with Pastor Peter Kasarivu, praying about all that. We need the Lord's wisdom and direction. We really want to bring a big team with us next year, so we're going to give you some more information, hopefully in September. If you want to come, let us know, and we'd love to have you come with us. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for just the privilege that we have as a church to be involved in our own city, our own nation, and the nations of the world. Lord, you are the hope of the world. You are the hope of the world. And God, I pray that we would be messengers of your hope wherever we go. If it's to one person, if it's to 10,000 or 100,000, God, I pray that the passion to bring the love of Jesus wherever we go would burn in our hearts. God, I thank you, Lord, for each person that came on this team. I thank you for all those that joined us in prayer and supporting financially. Bless them, O God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.